But some of the notables for the Commanders so far that stand out to me. 28-year-old Cleland Farrell, who last year played in 14 games, had 3.5 sacks. He's more of a run stuffer than a pass rusher. Was originally drafted at the top of the board by the then Oakland Raiders. Fourth overall pick in the draft out of Clemson, if you remember. Became a decent player for the Raiders. Played a year in San Francisco in the Adam Peters era. Then was signed and brought to Washington as one of the veterans that came over in free agency last year. Cleveland Farrell got cut today. Now, this is one that I actually was predicting, but I think will surprise a lot of people because it felt like he had a roster spot when camp began. The only tell for me was when I watched the Bengals game and he's on the field in the fourth quarter in the dress rehearsal, my antenna went up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not normal. Then he played almost the entirety of the first half against the Ravens when, again, 33 guys didn't play in that game at all. That meant a lot to this team, and I thought Cleveland Farrell might get cut. And sure enough, he has. But I'm really curious to see what happens on the D-line because we've also heard today that Jalen Holmes, who I like a lot, got released. He can play inside. He can play outside. And Andre Jones, the former seventh-round pick previous regime, has also been cut. So that sounds like really, really good news for Javonte Jean-Baptiste. That sounds like very, very good news for Jacob Martin,
yep.
Who I think was probably a roster lock anyway, but you could call him a bubble player. So we'll see what else happens. I mean, this is the day now where Adam Peters has got an idea of what their 53 looks like, but he's also working the phones. We heard the Diana Rossini report today that they're trying to trade Noah Igbinoghi. I don't know how much legitimacy is to that or not, but we've seen that last year.
Yeah, it's a trial balloon. See what you can do.
They traded John Ridgeway last year. We see all over the league the last several days, guys getting moved. So Farrell out, Holmes and Jones also released. There is going to be depth released on the D-line by this team that will play for other teams this year.
Agreed, yeah. And you know, again, I'm trying to monitor who everyone else is cutting as well. Maybe that somebody comes in. But in terms of the defensive line, doing my quick back-of-the-napkin math, I had 10 defensive linemen thinking that would be the number they went with. Does them moving on from Holmes and or Farrell tell you maybe they go with 9? Thinking that there's some rotation there or some mix and matching there? Or do you still think it's 10? Because I'm trying to figure out who the 10th player would be because we now know that I had Holmes in as one of the 10. If he's gone and Farrell's gone, do they get to 10?
I have not heard that Sheldon Day's been released yet.
I haven't either.
They really, really liked Sheldon Day last year.
So that's another interior guy. So that's Payne, Kinlaw, Newton, Day, and maybe Eddie Goldman. So that could be 5 defensive tackles then.
Now, again, I'll reference my 53 occasionally. Everyone has their own. It means nothing. But I had Goldman out as well.
Mm-hmm.
I had both Goldman and Cleveland Farrell out. But yeah, if you're talking about trying to just find 9 or 10, Dorrance Armstrong, Daron Payne, Javon Kinlaw, Von Miller, lock pile.
Yep.
Dietrich Wise, lock. Johnny Newton, lock. That's 6. Jacob Martin in, that's 7. If we say Eddie Goldman's in, that's 8. I think we now know that Javonte Jean-Baptiste probably made it based on what we know at defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 9. That would mean, knowing that Andre Jones has been released, Carl Davis has been released, right? We heard that
yes.
name. Jalen Holmes has been cut. So the only other guy, if they cut Sheldon Day, it's 9. If they keep him, that would be 10. And there's also the possibility of actually adding something from outside the building that they like to be one of the 10 as well. Like if they cut
right.
Day, it's 9 of their own, but maybe there's someone they get cut somewhere else that becomes the 10th guy.
Indeed. Yeah, that's where the challenge comes in. Again, it is a numbers game because you're always, it's obviously a numbers game, you're getting to 53. But wherever there's a squeeze, right, where you go, okay, we're gonna keep one less guy at, say, a receiver spot, where we're only going to go with 5 instead of 6 because we're getting our special teamer from an extra linebacker or an extra safety or whatever it is, then, or the flip side of that is if we keep a 10th, it means we can't keep the 6th wide receiver or the 7th linebacker or whatever.
Good news, though, for Eddie Goldman so far, I would say. Based on,
to this point, yeah.
Carl Davis being out. I think a lot of people had him in. And some of the other back-of-the-roster math we're doing now with Jalen Holmes and some of these guys that didn't make the roster. So, again, as these names trickle out, we will get you the breaking news first here on Grant and Danny on The Fan throughout the show. So keep it right here on Cutdown Day. Some other notables, though. Hop into the other side of the ball. Sam Hartman released. This was a no-brainer, I felt like. He's going to be on the practice squad almost certainly. So, interestingly, I did the Take Command pod last night with Logan Paulson. For those of you that don't know, podcast, couple of years, X's and O's, breaking down the film. Really, really good show that Logan's been a part of with Craig Hoffman. who left the company for an awesome opportunity with Monumental. So I've taken over, take command with him here right before the season. So yesterday we were breaking down the roster from all angles and talking about burning questions. I bring this up to say, even though we both had Sam Hartman out, and in fact, Logan had two quarterbacks in, he also has Josh Johnson not making the roster. He thinks they should go get somebody else, another veteran maybe, to be their third quarterback if they want to do that because of the Marcus Mariota Achilles issue. His takeaway rewatching the tape from Sam Hartman in the Ravens game, which felt just awful, he said, people are going to hate this. He did not play nearly as bad as people think. He said there were a couple of really, really bad decisions. The pick six was one of them. He said, but a lot of his miscues were based on receivers not doing their job correctly, either by way of the route they ran or how they ran their route or telegraphing things for a defensive back. And I do think that's interesting because we talk about the other side of this equation a lot, this relationship between the bad quarterback at the end of a preseason game and a receiver that's trying to get seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the quarterback's not playing well, if he's not processing, ball's not coming out, he's not throwing you a catchable pass, what am I supposed to do here? But it goes both ways too. There are plays certainly where that happened with Johnson, with Hartman, with all these guys around the league that have been waived today at quarterback who are playing in the fourth quarter of these games. But occasionally as a quarterback, if you're Sam Hartman, you don't think he might look a little bit better out there with the Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown, Zach Ertz, and behind a number one offensive line?
Sure you'd think, yeah.
So I just think they like him enough that he will be on the P squad. And let's face it, he's Jaden's boy.
Yeah, I mean, again,
they're good pals, and the camaraderie in the quarterback room matters.
Not to be flippant about that, and again, it's more than playing, because again, if that person has to play, your season is already doomed.
It just
forget
lists
about
him,
it.
When you sign him to the practice squad, instead of listing him as quarterback, list him Sam Hartman, Jaden Daniels, BFF totes.
Yeah, good in the film room, awesome on road trips.
Handsome gentleman.
Seriously, and it's easy to scoff at that, and Jared, scoff away if that's what you're feeling. But the point is, to me, the practice squad quarterback having a good rapport with the other guys, being good in that room, helping guide, mentor, not in terms of being, running good play or whether it's practice squad type stuff. It's not practice squad, scout, what am I trying to say? Scout team. Thank you very much. Whether it's running that sort of stuff, there's a value in it to have that room be as good as it could possibly be. If that person has to play, you're doomed. I expect the third quarterback, if there is one, to be Josh Johnson. It's not like he lit it up either. It was better certainly than Hartman was. But you need that third quarterback, at least initially, with Mariota's health kind of being uncertain. But Hartman will be on the practice squad, and he should be, quite frankly. I mean, again, this is a good rapport, good relationship. Do not rock the boat.
So far, wide receivers playing out a lot like we had predicted. So the obvious is who's in, right? And that's Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown, Deebo Samuel, Jalen Lane, and presumably Luke McCaffrey based on being a third-round pick last year. So I would put them all five guys in Sharpie, right? The first four of them well-deserved and need to be here. Luke, I think, is still intriguing enough as a prospect and was drafted high enough last year that you're not willing to cut bait, and he's going to be in the mix. So we're good there with those five?
Yes.
The question was, are they going to keep a sixth, and will it be one of these veterans who came in during or before camp, whether that's K.J. Osborne, who was here at the end of last year, Chris Moore over the offseason, Michael Gallup, who they cut yesterday. So they've already cut all three of the veterans. Gallup out yesterday, and today, K.J. Osborne, who had back-to-back 500-yard seasons in Minnesota at one point, and Chris Moore, who's done some good things in the league on Sundays, they're gone. Now, I think they'll be in the building, at least one or both of them, on the practice squad potentially. But as we wait to find out how the back of the roster is going to be shaped.
Mm-hmm.
If they keep a sixth, it would be one of, right now, we have not heard on Ja'Cory Brooks, Jacoby Jones, Tay Martin, River Craycraft, I guess, and then there were four, so to speak. But my point all along has been, I didn't think anybody separated themselves and proved that they needed to make the roster. If I had to keep six because I can't get someone from somewhere else, my sixth guy would be Ja'Cory Brooks, the undrafted free agent out of Louisville.
Mine too.
I think he did enough in training camp and in the preseason that he is the sixth best guy in the building. But I also know with every ounce of being inside of me that you could get him to the practice squad. And if that is the case, then why wouldn't you just keep five for now? You've still got him in the building moving forward. And now you're shopping. There are decent wide receivers. There's some names. There's some guys that have caught 50 passes over the last few years, that are coming available that maybe you like more from a veteran presence standpoint than whatever you were getting out of Osborne and some of those other guys. So I've kind of thought all along it would be those five locks, and then you shop the market for the sixth guy. we could be headed in that direction, although I'm waiting to see exactly what happens with Ja'Cory Brooks. He's the most interesting other name to me.
Yeah, this would be a candidate, and I hate for these sorts of things because you might find out, hey, you made the 53, and then someone's available you didn't think. Hey, you didn't make the 53 anymore. You're now, you know, getting bumped down to the practice squad if you're willing to sign there. That would be a candidate there, or Brooks would be a candidate there for me in that regard. Their fourth, maybe fifth, maybe sixth best receiver, I don't think plays on this roster just yet. In other words, there are better players out there that will become available than guys that they have here in the building at
fourth?
This point. Maybe fourth, but probably fifth or sixth.
I think that's crazy. I mean, so you didn't like what you saw from Jalen Lane a whole lot.
I like him as a gadget guy, close to the line of scrimmage, but I'm talking about bona fide NFL wide receiver that's, you know, caught 30, 40, 50, 60 passes in a season. I bet you something like that's going to be available.
Look, there's going to be someone cut that you could sign that's caught more passes in a season than Jalen Lane, who's never played because he's a rookie. But I don't think anybody will come in here that could help you with speed and twitch and some of those things. Like, I'll say this. There's no one that just had the camp that Jalen Lane had, having been out there as many days as I was watching those practices, that's about to get cut with his upside as a 4.3, 4.40 guy who was just drafted in the, I mean, not that late. I think it was the fourth round, right? So early fourth, basically, or mid rounds. They're in a place where they're going to involve him offensively. I did not think that would be the case going in. I thought he'd be a return man and a gadget guy. And to your point, it's not going to be like week one, he's going to catch four balls. Mm-hmm. There's just not enough footballs to go around. You've got McLaurin and Brown healthy. In a world, though, where, let's say, Terry's on a pitch count, maybe Jalen Lane is the guy taking the lid off, running the love of the game routes, going, you know, pressing things vertically to open things up underneath for Zach Ertz, because they don't really have that guy otherwise.
They do not.
That straight line speed might be what he has to provide. But if we're talking training camp, preseason, I'll call it August, right?
Yep.
The summer. The most impressive receivers on this team, Deebo Samuel 1, Jalen Lane 2. And then a pretty big gap, and I don't even know where to go after that.
Because you didn't see anyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there was
no Noah Brown, and Terry McLaurin was in a hoodie.
And I mean, you could kind of put the rest of the guys in a blender. I would probably say Ja'Cory Brooks.